Konnichiwa, and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gurs.
Hi.
And I am your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about The Seven Deadly Sins, aka Nanatsu no Taizai, a show from 2014. A new game in the franchise just released, so come for the SEO, stay for the podcast. It was animated by A1 Pictures, the studio behind lots of Persona anime, Nier Automata V1.1A, and Grand Blue Fantasy the Animation, all of which we've covered for this podcast. The Seven Deadly Sins currently has an Annie List score of 73%. The Seven Deadly Sins was a manga which ran from 2012 until 2020, had an anime, OVAs, movies, light novels, and is on its fourth game, with The Seven Deadly Sins Origin having released just this week. My short synopsis is, a tavern owner goes on a quest to find criminals. Arturo?
10 years after a coup seemingly led by seven exceptional holy knights, Princess Elizabeth seeks the assistance of the eponymous Seven Deadly Sins.
And goes?
In a world where everyone is a knight, a princess disguised as a knight looks for a knight to help her save the kingdom from knights. Instead, she finds sexual harassment.
We open on the city of Lyoness, having been ransacked. Two members of the Order of Holy Knights find a bunch of knights having been slaughtered by just seven people. And we get
knights.
Titles.
Everyone is a knight.
The titles give us a very brief explanation that this place a long time ago and the bad guys are the Seven Deadly Sins.
Never seen an anime named after the villain, but whatever.
We skip ahead 10 years to near Khan's town, where someone in a full suit of armor trudges along. There's an episode title card before we cut to a tavern called the Boar Hat. The owner is young and blonde and is the only person armed. I actually made a note of that because nobody else has a weapon. The owner has a sword while serving drinks and meat pies, and this is actually noticed by other characters at least. However, the pies are horrible, so the patrons throw up, and the owner calls a talking pig named Hawk in to eat off of the floor.
I kept questioning how can the food look so good but tastes so like shit. Like, how do you achieve that? Do you just, I don't know, pick up some dirt and mold it into like perfectly cooked chicken?
Yeah, to me it sounds like malicious intent.
He is proud of being a terrible chef.
He is. He's like, here, eat this. It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, you know what you'd love? My horrible great cooking. You should try it.
Isn't the line something like, here's the food that gives the tavern its reputation? And they spit it out. The reputation is, it's horrible food. Suddenly someone bursts in, no claiming to have seen a rust knight. We don't really get an explanation of what a rust knight is, but it's a bad thing. The unnamed tavern owner asks what everyone is talking about, and they explain that it's to do with the Seven Deadly Sins, whose wanted posters are up on the wall. And I was wondering, why does he not know who they are when he hung up the posters?
Well, I only assumed the Rust Knight is bad because how dare you let that armor rust away?
Yeah, fair. The door opens, and in walks the Rust Knight. Everyone legs it before the knight collapses, its helmet popping off to reveal an unconscious person with silver hair. The owner, our hero, everyone, strips and molests the knight.
That's accurate, no comments.
She wakes and he pretends that he was checking her heartbeat, which she believes.
He wasn't checking her heartbeat, like her heart clearly stopped because he had to pump it with his hand.
She notices the sword on his back, but he reveals that it's just the handle, the rest of the sword having been snapped off. He cooks for her, and she says it's disgusting, but she actually likes it. We're almost 10 minutes in, and the owner hasn't been given a name, the knight hasn't introduced herself, and we've been told that Hawk's name is Hawk twice.
Well, he's clearly the most important character.
Our character priorities are very much straight here. Molester? No, thank you. Random person wearing armor? No, thank you. Talking pig? Yes.
The knight explains that she's on a quest to find the seven deadly sins. Suddenly, there's a knock at the door. The Order of the Beard of the Mountain Cat has come to capture the knight. I had to do it back and write the name of that order down correctly, because that's just stupid.
Look, they have many orders. That was the last name that wasn't taken.
We could be the eyebrows of the mountain cat. No, no, no. How about the beard? Fine, yes, whatever.
It's like there's a little parody animation for Metal Gear Solid where they tell Revolver Ocelot he should choose a real animal as his code name, because no one knows what an ocelot is.
While the order waits, they comment that the tavern... Excuse me. While the order waits, they comment that the tavern wasn't there 3 days ago. The guy in charge is Alioni, who we saw 10 years ago at the slaughter. He was the younger guy, not the older guy, obviously. This guy has been in roughly 1 minute of this episode, and he's got a name.
Clearly, he's the protagonist. He's not going to die near the end, get turned into a zombie, and then the next episode, we're not going to see him anymore, and two other characters will be the protagonists.
That'd be ridiculous. Where'd you even get that idea?
The door opens, and the owner introduces Hawk, now wearing bits of the armor, clearly presenting that this is the Rust Knight that walked in. However, the real knight tries to escape unnoticed, but fails the stealth roll, and the order gives chase. The pursuit doesn't last long, as Hawk knocks the order out, / murders them, and the owner molests the knight again. She explains that she wants to find the Seven to ask for their help in fighting the Holy Knights, who she suspects were behind the plot to start the war. We don't know what war, but honestly, I'm fine with that, because I find it difficult to get into fantasy animes, and the less detailed, the better. She's interrupted, however, when the cliff they're on is shorn from the rest of the ground by a sword, sending the three falling to their doom. Sir Twiggo tells the Order of the Beard of the Mountain Cat to write the report that there were two fatalities, clearly not counting Hawk, only to be told that Alione was also down there, so he amends it to three fatalities.
I mean, I'm very upset that he didn't include the only named character so far.
Even when the owner jumps back up to the top of the cliff carrying the knight, Hawk, and Alione, he refuses to amend it. But then Twiggo notices the earring that the knight was wearing and identifies her as Princess Elizabeth.
Oh my god, she has a name?
The three run for it, and Twiggo deforests the entire woods with a single sword slash. The owner saves Elizabeth, so she attempts to surrender, but Twiggo isn't having it. Elizabeth is upset that she's causing the owner so much grief without knowing his name, so he introduces himself as Meliodas. But that's the name from one of the wanted posters.
That was probably just a coincidence. A lot of people are named Kyle, for instance.
Alione wakes with a start, exclaiming that they shouldn't dare get the owner mad at them, as he saw the mark on Blondie's arm, which Elizabeth also spots thanks to his torn shirt. It's the symbol of a beast, which all of the Seven have. Twiggo also finally makes the conclusion, so he attacks, to no avail. As Twiggo gets team rocketed into the sky, Meliodas announces that he's the Sin of Wrath, the Dragon Sin, Meliodas. And the episode ends with the credits.
But wait, there's more.
There's a post-credit scene, yes, which has Meliodas invite Elizabeth to travel with him in his tavern to search for the Seven, who he has business with, and he's also been looking for. The Order recover Twiggo, who says that they need reinforcements, but then the tavern almost lands on them on the back of Hawk's mom, a giant green pig.
How magical!
Meliodas grabs Elizabeth and takes hold of a ladder. Hawk is already up the top, and Hawk's mom starts walking away. Elsewhere, specifically 38 miles east at Fort Solgress, Twiggo has reported to who I assume is a prince, who vows to destroy Meliodas.
So we've evolved from post-credit scene to post-credit scenes.
Yeah.
Because this actually, was two it scenes.
It does go on. And the next episode, the scene is very, very short.
And now welcome to the post-credits episode.
Hawk's mom will return in Avengers.
Tombstone.
Avengers. In Avengers, lots of nights. Holy nights. Nights.
Episode 2 opens on Phone's kingdom. Episode 2 opens on Leonis Kingdom, the capital city of Leonis, 1 month ago. Princess Elizabeth is being told by the king that she needs to escape before the Holy Knights find her. Then we get a recap of the first episode and the titles, which is the end credits we just saw. We return to Hawk's mom walking through the countryside with Elizabeth watching the world pass by out of a window. Meliodas asks her to join him in another room, where he presents her with a tavern uniform. Then molest her.
Wait a minute, why are we watching so many things with molesting? City Hunter, Seven Deadly Sins. Is this a preparation for the hentai arc?
Pal's Hentai Podcast. Okay, the next anime is from 1989, so...
Oh no!
Yeah, there might be some inappropriate stuff in there as well. Hawk responds appropriately with violence.
Oh no.
We get the episode title card, and then Elizabeth, making small talk, asks what his crime was, as the Seven are all criminals. He tells her that his crime was that he stole panties. No, but actually he molested a lot of women. No, but actually it was something worse. However, we don't discover what it was yet, as they arrive in Vanya village. Hawk's mom digs into the hill to hide, leaving the Boar Hat Tavern above ground. Meliodas leads the way into the village to obtain supplies, but they find the river is dry. They discover the villagers trying to pull a Holy Knight's sword out of the ground, where he stuck it to stop the water flowing days ago.
Oh, I guess that's better than global warming.
A kid named Mead comes along bragging about being friends with the Seven, and so the villagers turn on the kid, making Meliodas take him back to the tavern for safety. He tries to get Mead to explain his relationship with the Seven, but is unsuccessful. Then Elizabeth and Hawk return, so she explains that she heard Mead is a prankster, and tells him about that time that she tried to give the king a heart attack, but instead made him fall out of a tree.
She was like, damn it, he's still alive.
Trying to get her inheritance early.
Next up is the two older siblings. Mead then explains that he put an insect in the Holy Knight's drink when he insulted the beverage, which caused the knight to stick the sword into the ground. Mead says that since the Holy Knights are all dicks, doesn't that make the Seven Deadly Sins the good guys? Mead hears a commotion, so races back to the village and finds two officials stating to the gathered villagers that they'll charge 10 times the tax if the villagers don't pull the sword out by sundown. So Mead runs over and starts pulling. And then everyone joins him, but to no avail. But then Meliodas does it one-handed, returning water to the village.
Meliodas or Jesus Christ, am I right?
The two officials take the sword and run away. And then later, Elizabeth has her first shift as a waitress. It goes poorly. Mead notices and pokes fun, but shuts up when threatened with being left in the Forest of White Dreams, a place the Holy Knights won't even go. Elsewhere, specifically 7.3 miles northwest at Fort Solgress, Sir Gil Thunder is told that his sword has been pulled out of the ground. It's the guy I assumed was a prince last episode. He takes a spear, charges up, and throws it in the direction of the village.
And
back at the Boar's Hat, Elizabeth has walked out, so Meliodas goes to speak to her. That's what she thinks. He's actually out looking for the spear, having sensed it being thrown.
He felt a disturbance in the force, probably.
So she prattles on about being homesick or something, while he's not paying any attention to her. He manages to catch the spear, and after letting it smash him through portions of the village, throws it back. It goes through a thin window, destroying most of the fort, and almost hitting Gil Thunder in the face. This somehow tells the knight that it was Meliodas who did it. At the village, Meliodas' hand is bleeding, and he tells Elizabeth that they need to leave ASAP. She suggests the Forest of White Dreams. Meliodas thinks that another sin might be there, so they go. And we get the credits. The post-credits scene shows us a giant sleeping in some foggy woods, and she bears an animal mark.
I'm impressed about the fact that you knew she was a giant. I didn't catch on to that. Not until the next episode, obviously. By that point, I figured she was a giant and the two weren't ant-sized.
Well, you get some spoilers if you watch the opening. The
opening and closing titles, yeah. Which I do for every episode, every show or movie we watch. I always watch the titles and the credits all the way through for every episode. Some of them I wish that I would skip, but it's a thing I do. Just to make sure there's no changes, you know, like they kill off a character and make him a zombie in the titles.
That's really crazily specific. How did you come up with that?
Yeah, there's no way they would do that, James.
Episode 3 starts with Lord Gilthunder's supervillain origin story, as his father, the leader of the Holy Knights, is assassinated. In the present, Gilthunder is told that Meliodas left in the direction of the Forest of White Dreams and gives chase. Then we get a recap and the titles. We return to the forest where Hawk's mom is waiting on the outskirts. They've been there for hours without a sign of a sin, so Meliodas molests Elizabeth.
He was bored.
That's just his natural response to everything.
Then she realizes that her underpants are missing, but she doesn't suspect Meliodas of taking them.
Even though he admitted to the crime of stealing panties, but whatever.
Not that it matters for now. Suddenly there are a dozen hawks. The pig, not the bird. Then they're replaced by a dozen Elizabeths. Only the real one has no underwear, so when they're all told to jump, she won't. I mean, if they were all acting like lovey-dovey towards Meliodas, something that Elizabeth has not done to this point, then why not look for the one who is not acting lovey-dovey towards it? The prankster imps that were posing as them run away, so the group gives chase. Oh, and he gives her back her panties.
You're gonna need those.
The imps lead them to Lady Deanne, a sleeping giant. She wakes and grabs Meliodas, thinking him to be a holy knight, but she seems to recognize him. The other two realize that she's the serpent sin of envy. Deanne attempts to cook Hawk and is partially successful before Meliodas stops her. Then she beats on Meliodas, suspecting him of being in a relationship with Elizabeth. Once everything is explained, she vows to join them. Suddenly, they're all struck by lightning, which binds their bodies. Gil Thunder is there. Meliodas comments on how the Lord has grown in the 10 years since they last met, and Gil Thunder explains that he wants to behead the Seven because it'll prove that he's better than his father, and also avenge him, I guess.
But mostly prove that he's, mostly avenge him. Yeah, that's my goal.
Meliodas says that he might have killed his father, but he doesn't remember much from that time. Apparently the Seven were summoned to a castle, so we get a flashback where, coincidentally, only Meliodas and Deanne have their helmets off. The rest are in full suits of armor. They open the door and found the Grand Master murdered messily. Suddenly, they realize that the place is surrounded by every single knight in the kingdom, and then the building begins to shake from an assault. The flashback ends with the words, "Captain, I'm sorry," written on screen without a voice, because Meliodas says that he remembers the words and then waking up in a cellar somewhere. Oh, and I should have mentioned that Deanne keeps calling him Captain. Gil Thunder doesn't care that Meliodas probably didn't kill his father. He also doesn't care that Elizabeth is supposed to be returned safely to the castle. He tells her to leave, but instead she stands in front of the two Sins. Hawk brings attention to himself, so Gil Thunder kicks him off into the distance. So Elizabeth runs after Hawk, who was now far from the crazy swordsman, leaving Meliodas and Deanne still bound in front of Gil Thunder. The peril is short-lived, as it turns out they could have escaped from the lightning at any time.
Which, you know, confuses me, because Deanne said she kind of struggled against it, and then Meliodas was like, nah, don't worry about it. And then she knew she could get off? So how did she know not to do it at first?
Don't ask questions.
Sorry.
Meliodas and Gil Thunder fight like they're on Dragon Ball Z, and Meliodas loses. And then we get the credits. But then we get an extended post-credit scene, which picks up immediately with Meliodas badly wounded and at Gil Thunder's mercy. Meliodas has a final request, everything that Gil Thunder knows about what happened to the Seven Deadly Sins. Gil Thunder explains that two of them have been dealt with. The Fox Sin of Greed is in prison, and the Grizzly Sin of Sloth has been killed. The other three are still missing. So Meliodas thanks the Lord, then hops up in good spirits.
Wait a minute, do you mean us teasing the fact that a protagonist was going to die wasn't about Meliodas?
So, has this made you want to check out the Seven Deadly Sins origin?
So, I'm going to be honest. No, okay, jokes aside, it was a yes because I was interested in seeing it. Then I saw it was a gacha game and then I backed off really slowly.
Yeah, I'd have to look into how the game actually plays, how intrusive are microtransactions. But if it's good, I might check it out.
Well, I've got it downloaded on my PS5 already. I have not started playing it, though. Because, like, I wanted to record this podcast before I did start playing it. It's also coming to mobile later, I think next week. I was going to say later this month, but then I realized what date it was. So, is this a Yata, a Nani, or a Baka? Arturo?
I think for me, this was a Yata. I liked it, though I'm going to admit, I think I expected to like it more than I did. The animations were pretty. The fight scenes were kind of cool, if not too Dragon Ball-esque for my taste. But it, like, I don't know. I feel like there was a lot of things that felt almost forced of it and a little bit rushed. I was expecting the whole premise of looking for the Seven Deadly Sins to be like, oh, it's going to take like a few episodes. We're going to get to know Meliodas. Only to find the second one in the third episode? I don't know. I think maybe it just feels a bit rushed, and it might be a good problem to have that I want more of it, but that's how I see it.
And Kuz?
I think it was a Yata. I've actually seen this one when it was originally coming out. I would watch new episode every week as it was coming out. And yeah, it has a good animation. The soundtrack is great. It's by Sawano Hiroyuki, who did a lot of, probably still does, anime soundtracks. In the very first episode, you can hear the theme "Perfect Time," which is really good. Has like folk inspirations. I also think that it's really well paced, and it kind of feels timeless. Like it has its own universe. It's like medieval fantasy inspired, but it's not, I guess, placed in a specific time period, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. In general, I thought it was it's really good, and I would recommend it.
Okay, I thought it was yes. I'm going to watch more of it. It's all on Netflix. I don't know about the movies and the OVAs, but there's multiple seasons, I noticed. So does it deserve its AnyList score of 76%?
I'm going to admit, I was a bit surprised at how low it is, because I swear there was a time where I couldn't escape the Seven Deadly Sins. It was everywhere. But 7.6, or 76, I guess, is, I would argue, a pretty good score for it based on my personal experience with it.
So I actually only saw the first season, the first 24 or 25 episodes, however many it was. And I recently heard that the quality of the animation specifically is worse as the show continues, so maybe that would warrant a lower score. I'm not sure.
Okay, I felt that while I enjoyed it, the villains are a bit one note, but it never hangs around, never gets boring. But yeah, both of the big villains say, "Hey, we're supposed to take you back to the king, but I don't care about that." Like, good job, knight.
You know, I really like that observation. I do feel like I wish they had had a little bit more nuance and depth than just seemingly cruel and running a coup for no reason.
So,
I mean, they differ from each other because one wants to kill Elizabeth, the other just tells her to bugger off.
So I think that the first guy, I think Twiggo, he does a good job of telling you that the Holy Knights are corrupt. And that's kind of a spoiler, that there is more to all those characters, especially Gilfounder. So if you felt like they didn't have enough depth, it definitely, like, there's a bunch of twists throughout the season that I think are pretty good. And characters that are later introduced as villains turn out to not really be the villains. They have more sides to them, stuff like that.
Okay, I'll look forward to that when I get around to more. But that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Gus.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. Thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listen to Greencast Podcast. Sora Dewa, game on.